G'day everybody, it's Todd Eastman here from the Big Ballers Podcast, and I'm joined by Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green.
We world champions.
The Ballers and I, every fortnight, bringing news from the NBA, NBL, and basketball around the world. Isn't that right, Draymond?
Yup.
We have segments like NBA Law and Order, Big Baller, No Baller, and Question of the Day.
Yup.
Do you listen to other basketball podcasts?
No.
Why not?
They suck.
Well, you heard it from Draymond Green himself. Big Ballers Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, and FNX Network.
This is FNX.
Oh, yeah!
Hey, this is Big Brody Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
Hey, it's Kelly in English.
Don't worry. Just panic.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
Hello, Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mean Dean Olsen.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Charlie Evans.
This is 5 times the world's heavyweight champion, the Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to Wrestle Radio Australia. My name is Josh Armour. Of course, WRA brought to you by FNX.network. We are on iTunes, we are on TuneIn Radio and Stitcher Radio app as well. So no matter how you like getting your podcasts, you can hear our show, plus Healing Out and Axecast on the Wrestle Radio Australia Network. Now, I'm not going to take up too much time here at the top of the show because we've got a pretty cool little conversation here to bring you. Todd Eastman caught up with New Warzone Wrestling Australia promoter Lord Mark Williamson. Now, a few months back, they had a really cool chat talking about managing and whatnot. That is also a topic here today, talking about what it's like to manage as a babyface and manage babyface good guy wrestlers, plus insane fans. Bit about IWA and the sort of the business model that they're using over there in New South Wales, and secrets to wrestling at Supernova and Comic-Con events. So all you workers out there, pay close attention to this one, because Lord Mark is a very wise man, and he's been in the game for quite some time. So that's coming up very, very soon. First of all, if you actually attended Melbourne City Wrestling's Ballroom Brawl last night, I'd love to hear what you thought of the show. I've seen some rad photos and video footage coming out from that one. And Mr. Juicy, winner of the Ballroom Brawl, that's great for Mr. Juicy and Juice XT. But I won't ruin it. If you like holding out for the VOD release, I won't spoil the rest, because I think we all had a feeling that Juicy was on his way to the Ballroom Brawl victory. But what happened after that, man? My word. And if you're in Adelaide, I know we've got a lot of South Australian listeners, this Saturday, May 7th at the Latvian Hall, it is Rites of Passage, presented by Riot City Wrestling. Big main event, or double main event, I guess you could say. You've got the Rude Ones going up against Smash, Super Mega Action Superheroes, Mask versus Mask match. And then, of course, the big main event, the big one that really a lot of RC Dub fans have been waiting for, Chris Basso versus Big Brody Marshall. Kicker with that one: if Big Brody Marshall wins, Riot City is Basso free for good. If world class Chris Basso can get the win, Grimm will be back, and he's gonna have his eyes set on Big Brody Marshall. So yeah, that's gonna be very interesting this Saturday night at the Latvian Hall. If you are a Chris Basso fan, you can pick up the new Chris Basso World Class t-shirt, produced by WrestleMerch Printing, our great sponsors. They've also produced new shirts for Mr. Juicy, the Make Wrestling Great Again. Love that one there, and the Hot Dog Eating Champion t-shirt. Very cool stuff. Also, folks like Kellyanne, Adam Brooks, Lockie Hendricks, and Big Cousin R. Lee over there in MC Dub and OC Dub, they trust in WrestleMerch Printing to get great quality stuff to their fans. T-shirts, hoodies and whatnot. So if you're a wrestler and you need new gear for winter to get to your fans, and if you are outside of South Australia, don't worry, nationwide shipping. So they will be able to definitely take care of you. And even if you just need a new logo for a website or something like that, they can help you out there too. Check out WrestleMerch Printing on Facebook. Send them a private message with the work that you need done. They'll give you a quote, friendly, quick service, but be sure to tell them that you heard all about it on Wrestle Radio Australia, won't you? Yeah, that's the way. All right, let's get into this Lord Mark Williamson and Todd Eastman here on WRAE.
I am joined here today by one of the premier, well, the premier manager in Australian wrestling. Once again, Lord Mark Williamson, how are you, sir?
Absolutely sensational, Todd. Thanks once again for having me on the podcast. Good to catch up for a bit of a chat, mate.
Well, you know, you are my role model, so I must.
Oh, thank you. Thank
every
you.
Now and then, check in and learn from the wise ways.
Check what's happening in the house of Lord Mark Williamson as he sits in his mountainous house on top of a mountain, literally looking down upon all.
I shall sit at your learning tree, sir.
That's it. That's it.
So how things go? Last time I talked to you, you were just happily managing along. Now, co-owner of Warzone.
You know, things happen. You kind of wacky world of wrestling. I'm now the owner of Warzone Wrestling. Got a show May 21st. Should be an absolute cracker. I don't even have to do any work on it. I got a promotions team working on it. So it's, I just pay them. It's really good. Don't do any hard work. Not doing posters. Don't deal with the venue. I just rock up, pay the bills, nick off. It's pretty good.
Gee, if it was that easy, why doesn't everyone have a Fed?
Well, you know, you just have to find the right team, guys. That's all it is.
There we go.
That's it.
So what else has been going on in the world of Lord Mark?
Oh, well, Lord Mark's been, you know, working on acting stuff. Just been in the midst of trying to get a new agent. Getting some of my work seen by people in the industry, which has kind of paid off today because I do have a new agent. So,
yeah, did hear that. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So hopefully, you know, let's get some more gigs coming my way in the acting variety. And still managing, managing and commentating now. So working for IWA, that's International Wrestling Australia in New South Wales for Mark Mercedes. So that's been pretty good. It's a lot of laugh, different style shows too, which is a good thing. You can always work different style shows all over the country. So it's good changing the style up once again.
Yeah, Mark was sort of away from the industry for a while, wasn't he?
He's always stuck around. Like, he's always been promoting shows. They never really promoted them online too much because a lot of them were kind of like tours through RSL clubs and all that sort of stuff. So most of the audience would come from like regional towns. So you don't really develop unless you're putting an online product for people to develop a following, there's no need. Their business model was going there, doing shows. They get big crowds there as well because it's like rural centres in New South Wales.
What else are you going
to
do?
Get big crowds, dig off. And as I said, the shows, you know, there was no real ongoing storyline looking up the shows. It was just wrestlers on the day. They'll come up with stories on the night. So the show's all self-contained storyline-wise, and that's the way they run it, kind of like spot shows. So, but it's been good being with them. I've been working with them now for 3 years. But now they've been doing a lot of having their shows online, be able to watch on YouTube live.
Oh, beautiful.
Which has been, I think the next one's coming up in June. They've got a doubleheader.
Are they ever worried about that taking away from live attendance for the locals?
No, not really, right? Because they're just trying to get the wrestling fans from around the country.
Yeah, okay.
So the locals, these shows are all advertised in RSL clubs. So it's a different business model. Like look at what RCW do. They hire a venue and they promote the show themselves. They do all the advertising, they get all the newspaper stuff and all that sort of thing. So what this model of using the clubs and the paid shows is, you're basically offering a service to a club for their auditorium to get people into it. So they promote it because they're paying for the service. They want to keep their members coming to the club. They want to keep money coming into the club. So they have paid, and they have a larger advertising budget than what a wrestling promotion would. I mean, they're like mini casinos. They've got poker machines on it. They do weekly advertising. So, you know, you're able to be seen more being in part of their ads than what you can do by promoting by yourself. And it's been a really successful business model. I mean, it's what IWA has been around since 1998. They've been ongoing since 1998. Not many other, I think you probably find PCW are around and ongoing, have been going for that length. I think 99, 2000 they started. But yeah, it's, you know, they're the longest running promotion in the country. And I said, their shows are getting bigger. Their attendances are better and larger in Sydney. They're doing more Sydney shows now. Their tours are doing well. They get a lot of fun agricultural shows, which is, you know, it's like working a supernova, but you're in the country with all these farmers and different people there. There's like rides and all that sort of stuff, you know? It's a different sort of atmosphere and a different crowd. Yeah, well, it's totally different because it's not a wrestling crowd. People just go, oh, what's this? So, yeah. You know, you have to, and much like Supernova, like you often find in the Supernova or Armageddon shows, those ones that are going in doing normal wrestling are usually the boring matches, and they kind of go more for the outlandish characters and the ones that can engage a crowd and, you know, get a reaction that way. So, what's the difference?
Yeah, we've sort of, in RCW anyway, I've worked with AWF. With the Armageddon shows, and over the last,
I believe they're Supernova.
Supernova, sorry, yep.
Yeah.
Over the last few years, we've sort of worked out that if we just get our guys to not work in gimmick but work in cosplay, that gets a bigger reaction out of The last one I was at was not last year but the year before's, I think, yes. And yep. One of the guys, and this is way before the movie came out and all that stuff, had the proper full Deadpool suit.
Oh, sweet, yeah.
So he wrestled as Deadpool in the full Deadpool gimmick with the breaking the fourth wall, the whole, and it got over more than anything else that weekend for those shows.
I remember watching Crackerjack fighting, I think it was Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that got over on the show. So.
Yeah. Well, we did one. We did one where we had Big Matty Basso, Grimm, dress up as Thor.
Oh yeah.
And I got in the ring and challenged anyone in the crowd to come out and take on my champion.
Yeah.
Of course, Matty comes out.
Yeah.
I tried to talk him out, going, "Sorry, you're a god."
Yeah.
We didn't say we'd fight gods.
I said anyone, not gods.
Sorry, any man. Get out. But yeah, that got over better than anything. I think that's the way you have to almost tailor it to that audience.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's, but you can go to different states and it's the same sort of thing. It's a different audience. I mean, that's the good thing of kind of going out and working different areas. There's a lot of different styles. Like my style, when I would work in Queensland is different from New South Wales. Same as like what I do down in Melbourne is different from what I do in New South Wales or what I did in Queensland. So, you know, you've got your different sorts of crowds, and it's a good worker, and performer that can change to adapt for that crowd to get that reaction.
Yeah, I'm in RCW at the moment. We're sort of like Chris Basso and I are sort of half baby face now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's really interesting for me because I've never had to work as a manager as babyface.
Oh, it's tough.
Thanks for the encouragement.
It's the worst. It's the worst. Get out of it, man. Find a way to turn on him, tease him, bloody screw him over out of something, man. Don't work face. I was working face with like Tyson Gibbs. Tyson Gibbs is like one of my best friends. Hang out with him all the time. I just didn't like being a face. one bit.
I'm actually excited to see how I go, or how, you know what I mean, because it's a whole new environment for me. I don't have that easy out of just turning around to the crowd and yelling shut up.
You change up your style, you know.
I'm actually a little excited for it.
That will die. I was a little excited. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to work face. This is going to be great. I even worked face in Queensland for a year, and I hated that too. I was like the good guy commissioner, and I hated it. It was the worst. Little grubby kids wanting to slap your hand. I'm not slapping your hand. You look how filthy you are. Like that's the, and then you got to be like kind of, you know, after a show sometime, most of the times. I just want to like, you know, lay back, have a drink, kind of relax, talk to, you know, these things are kind of a big social thing for me too. So there are people in the crowd that are my friends that I haven't seen in a while, or there's people backstage I haven't seen in you know, years, and like having a chat. I just don't like being harassed after a show. But if you're a face, you have to be harassed after a show. As a heel, no one wants to talk to me because I've been a prize day dickhead the entire night. Kids don't want my autograph. You called me an ugly little girl, says this boy. So he doesn't want my autograph. He actually hates my guts, wants to be nowhere near me. And it works fine for me. I can do what I want after shows. It's really great. I can catch up. It's all a big social thing. Have a good night. See, that's the issues you're going to have to face, Todd. And I'm not sure. Are you willing to accept? Are you willing to accept the cause? Because mate, I couldn't, and I'm a great man, Todd. I'm a bloody lord, and I couldn't do it, mate. Couldn't do it.
We walked out after the show because you know how RC Dub works. The faces all walk out to do autographs and photos.
Yeah,
like inside the barrier, so we're not in the crowd sort of thing. And there's this guy that for the last got to be good 6 months to a year, I've been giving just no end of stick to. Just you know, you find those ones in the crowd like, this one's gonna be fun.
All the time.
to the point where in one of the shows he tried to throw a chair at me.
Oh shit, true believer.
So I've walked out there and I saw him straight away and thought, oh shit.
Yeah,
first thing he does is come up to me, he tries to shake my hand, he goes, oh, I really like your stuff, can I have a photo with you? I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah
It's just, yes, mate, it's very unnerving. I'm waiting for the knife. Waiting for the knife.
Have you ever been attacked after a show?
Not after. I had...
not after?
A couple of months ago, I had a half full can of Coke thrown at the back of my head. During a match, yeah.
So, did it hit you or not?
Oh, yeah. It I've got a fairly large head, so...
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
It's a fairly easy target.
Yeah, it's rough. I've been attacked by I don't know how to say this to be politically correct.
don't do it. If it's that bad, Josh will just bleep it.
I was attacked by two retards after a show. Right. Like they were full, but like they had some people taking them to a show towards. I feel horrible saying that. I wish I came up with a better word. I just can't think of anything at the moment. Well, you know,
they've got that strength too, so it's hard to find.
They do, right? They totally do. And they attack like velociraptors. So right, someone's got, remember me? I'm like, what the hell? Then all of a sudden, I get like punched in the face by the other one, and then all the guys weren't going to help out because they thought it was the funniest thing in the world. So there, everyone's like pissing themselves laughing, and I'm trying to like wrangle these two handicapped people, and that's being attacked after show. That'll happen to you one time. Maybe if you work face, you'll have some people that will. That's it. I'm attacking that good guy. Yeah,
it's the smarks that'll hate me now in face. That's all. You and I are both managers in professional wrestling, and
yes,
it in the indie scene you see it a fair bit, but not so much now in WWE unless you're a fairly voluptuous woman. What do you think managing's place is in wrestling? Is there still a place for guys like you and I, or are we dinosaurs?
Well, I mean, you know, it's what they're big, like, there's a difference between what WWE is and what professional wrestling is, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, like, so I think if you can, if you're worth it, you can always find your way on a show. So, like, you have to be a good man. I believe you have to be good at what you do to be on a show, right?
Yep.
So you wouldn't be on a show any otherwise. So what WWE do, that is said, it's the Hollywood movie thing, you know. They do have some, you know, you've got your Paul Heyman around as a bit of a manager. You've got, I'm sure if the right guy was to come along and they'd be like, wow, that guy's amazing, I'm sure he'd be on there. But like, is there any other managers that are going to be WWE quality, what they are looking for and what they need? especially with the training they do at the Performance Center. You know, most of the guys are doing acting lessons there. They're learning how to speak. They're learning how to be characters. So having a big guy that, you know, is not very charismatic and a little loudmouth with him, there's no need for that, because they need to hire people that have that charisma and get that, you know, get that acting training too. So
yeah, I'm surprised that someone like a Truth Martini hasn't been able to sort of crack a gig somehow.
Yeah,
because I think in ROH he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, but like once again, it goes to the thing that these guys, you know, the only one who really needs a manager at the moment is Brock Lesnar. He doesn't talk too much. That's why they've got Paul Heyman with him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it used to be back in the day that if you didn't know how to do a promo off the top of your head, that's why they'd put the manager with you, because that guy could speak for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's changed. So it's a completely different industry from what like professional wrestling is. You know, professional wrestling to me is that dirty old professional wrestling, what WWE used to be. That's not now. It's had to change. It's, you know, it's gone a different path. So that's why you don't see managers too much on it. But I mean, you always see them in independent wrestling, mate. There will always be a spot, because there will always be some guy like me who is like, you know, I'm not the most athletic guy, but boy, I could fucking talk some shit. I really love it. So I'm going to be involved, because I mean, that's my thing. I'm not an athlete. I can go to the gym as much as I want. I'm never going to be an athlete. I'm going to get myself in functional shape, but I'm no way am I an athlete. So I'll always be a manager.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I like to be the one where they look at Chris and they go, I can't kick his ass, but I reckon I could kick his ass.
Oh yeah, totally. That's so, the thing, until you get your heat and there's always going to be a spot in professional wrestling. Maybe not WWE.
Maybe not. Nah, there goes a dream.
Yeah, there goes a dream, mate. There you go. I hope you didn't spend the money on the Performance Center tryouts, pal.
I walked in there and said, look, I don't do any of that bumping stuff.
Yeah, look, I don't wrestle, but I'm just like, boy, I can but talk yarn.
Yeah. People tend to hate me a lot. Does that help?
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. People really want to kick the shit out of me all the time. And I can talk. I can talk. Can you give me a job? She'll go down very well.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But I mean, it's yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It is what it is. You've talked a bit about, and this is on sort of wrestling pages on some sort of Facebook.
Yeah, all right. About being, what outlandish thing have I said?
No. Just about that. Maybe you've priced yourself out for bookings. You've priced yourself out of bookings for promoters. Can you talk a little bit about your feelings behind that?
Oh yeah, it's just, you know, I've done a lot of shows, so like there's some promotions I'd want to go work for, do some work, but most of the time I just, you know, I've like, it's got to be worth my while, and a lot of the time I get contacted by people and they want to do a show. I don't really know them too well, don't know the show, don't know the product, and I just have done enough cruddy shows in my day that like I don't want to take a risk on doing another one. So like if I'm to do it, I want to get paid for it. Especially like if I get offered to go interstate, like, man, I'm not going to fly myself to come to a show for you.
No, you at least want your travel covered.
Yeah. So it's priced me out of bookings, but they're not really bookings I overly want too much, you know?
I suppose, like
I worked for, you know, when like Adam Pearce was coming out the couple of times, there was, I'm trying to even think of the name. The guy's name was Blade Matthews, and he's promoting shows in Canberra. And so wanted to book Pearce and asked to book me. And I was like, yep, you pay me. I think it was something silly, like $100 or $150 to do the show plus petrol and all that sort of stuff. And like he paid it, but the shows are fucking horrible. They're like two of the worst shows I've ever done. I earned every fucking dollar I did on those things. Like, you know, and that's the trade-off. You know, if I'm getting paid a fair bit of money, I'm expected to work a horrible show, and completely sell out what, you know, what I enjoy doing on a show. But it's, yeah, I work, you know, but I work cheaper for a lot of other people too. Like, I work cheaper for Mark Mercedes. I work cheaper for Benny at Warzone when I work for him. So, like, it's not a flat rate. It's just a rate that if I don't know you and don't particularly want to do the show, well, this is what's going to cost you for me to leave my house.
Yeah, exactly. If you love the show, if you like the people that you're working with or working for, of course you're probably going to give them an extra break to someone you've never friggin' met and you don't know what the show is like and you don't know. You might even know who in our case you'd be managing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or then you rock up and you end up like there's six matches on the card and you're managing five people.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah, I've done that before. That was a barrel of laughs. That made me want to quit, right? I actually stopped doing it. Like, you know what? I did two shows that day. I did that show. Then I did a Nightmare Wrestling show when I didn't own it. And I think it was like 2 days after that, so I was taking a break from wrestling and I didn't do shows for like 9 months because they just completely crushed my spirit and didn't want to perform anymore. So, yeah. Jeez.
Do you go through stages like that where you just, you break from it and you can't?
Well, not overly now because I don't do as many shows. So like IWA, I might get a couple of shows a month. And then you might have like a month or two break. Warzone has always been like a 2 or 3 months between shows. So they've had like a 6 month break since last year, back into it in May. So, you know, I do get time off from shows. So it gets to like this Warzone show 21st. I'm super excited, super pumped for the show.
Yep.
Because I get to go out there and be a fucking piece of shit heel. That's the reason I do wrestling, right? Come on. I do it so I can be a jerk to people. I really do. I really love it. It's like very cathartic for me. I can get every like piece of shit thing that I want to do. I can just get it out in that little short spiel and go to being a nice guy most of the time. So yeah, but like I'm now having those gaps between shows. I do get really excited for like coming to do a show.
Hmm.
I was excited. We did these IWA show down in Albury, like on the border of New South Wales and Victoria. I was excited for that. I just did commentary, but I had a ball, had a really fun time, caught up with all my friends, caught up with like friends from Melbourne, friends from Sydney. It was a really good night, you know, so, and got paid. So it's a great night. Yeah.
Yeah. I must admit, I'd like to do a fed up here in Queensland where I live now, if I just did commentary on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd like. I don't know if I'd want to manage up here just yet, but I wouldn't mind doing commentary on there. Because
you have your moments where, with that sort of stuff too.
I mean,
sometimes you want to commentate. We're doing a lot of talking over each other.
Yeah, I know.
We'll be shit on commentary together, right?
Oh,
yeah.
We were fine before we started recording. As soon as we started recording.
Yeah.
I think. Really, too, it's because I've been spoiled with the guys that I've managed. Like, I've only managed two guys, and that was Chris Basso and Adam Brooks.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah, so...
Yeah. You know, you don't really want to... You want to... If I saw someone up here who I really thought...
He's a bit of a challenge for you there, right? Because, like, so... Basso and Brooks, you know that they're very good at being heels too. So you're the crouton to it. You create a good team and all that sort of stuff. Well, you're looking at trying to find like a younger guy, and you know, building him up.
See, I knew
you can Brooksy get over was the always wheel good. And build someone up. Yeah,
yeah. Brooksy was always good as a heel. Chris had never been a heel before.
Yeah.
So when he turned, that was to me that was the biggest challenge
because
he was one of the most over faces. He was just completely loved, and if I could just bring that little, if I could be his heater, that was great. And we did that by the end of it. So I was really proud of that, and I'd like to do that with someone else if I found a young guy up here. But the problem is too, you've got 1,000 bookers, 1,000 different feds in this one area. and all of them seem to have ideas about different ways for different guys. So there's a guy that plays a different character in five or six different feds that are only a half an hour from each other.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, there is that to it.
But, I mean, speaking of like the, you know, just being half an hour away from each other, though, it's still like I've done shows 10 minutes away from each other and have completely different crowds. Like we used to do in Sydney, we had, I lie, 15 minutes away from each other. We had Seven Hills and Merrylands. So about 15, 20 minutes away from each other and completely different crowds. No, they didn't come to each other's shows though.
Mm.
So we ran these shows once a month. So two venues once a month. And they were different crowds. You had a handful of, you had like probably five or six people might have come along. They followed the show around. But they were different crowds each show. So, I mean, it depends on the population area, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. As usual, sir, you are right.
No, it's just a different thought thing. Because, I mean, these are residential areas. And like depending on what you're focusing your advertising on, you know, a lot of the time we think is performers in wrestling, that it's like wrestling fans coming to shows a lot of the time, but most of the time it isn't. It's like new fans, people just like, well, this is pro wrestling, I'll check it out. They're the ones you turn into pro wrestling fans.
Yeah.
So having venues 20 minutes from each other, you'll get different people to it.
Mm.
And the trick is to get them to come to both. Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about the big show here, the WWE. And your mate Dan Leonard.
Yes.
Not the greatest fan of the booking at the moment.
No.
Whereas I sort of take that opposite direction where I think now they're really starting to push all this young talent, all this new, it's not the guys from 20 years ago. So what are your thoughts about like coming out of Mania? Because I think they've tried as best they can to turn this product around, and I think it's starting to work.
Yeah, it's starting to work. I think they had pretty low ratings though. Last I heard for the Raw last week, I think it was. I think it set a record low rating for that spot. So I think it's working for wrestling fans. Yeah. And I think what's happening with WWE is they are losing a lot of the they've lost a lot of the casual fans. They have. So it is your wrestling fans that are watching it, and your wrestling fans are loving the booking because it is what they want. Yeah. But whether or not they're going to continue with it, whether it goes, oh well, the ratings are down, we've given them what they've asked for, so now we're going to make it back to our way, remains to be seen. But they have done very well, and I think moving forward, there'll probably be further emphasis on the network more than, you know, the TV stuff, because if the ratings keep dropping down, they're not going to be able to get those big ass TV deals. So the trick is getting as many people as possible onto like the network.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an ebb and flow sort of thing. I mean, before Stone Cold and The Rock became Stone Cold and The Rock, they weren't all that popular guys. Do you know what I mean? They weren't massive names. You've got to get the crowd used to. You got to get the crowd used to those guys. You've got to get them to... And the only way you can do it is by keep persisting and putting them on. I mean, you wouldn't see a... Like, the last couple of weeks with Owens and Zayn and AJ and even Jericho, even though people bash the hell out of Jericho for the whole series with him and AJ, look where AJ is right now.
Yeah, like exactly. Exactly.
Number one, and no one's talking about the fact he lost those matches now because they're all focusing on this and what are Anderson and Gallows going to do and that whole deal.
Yeah. I just think, you know, a lot of people, you know, after years of not enjoying WWE, they're just always negative about it.
Yeah.
And people who are not really watching it as well. Like, oh, I read what happened on there. That sounds stupid. I'm not going to watch it. And then putting your opinion in.
Yeah, I think one of the best things I've been watching, the best thing I've been watching lately are those Edge and Christian shows.
See, I don't know if you've seen them.
Oh, my. They rip into smarks. Absolutely. Yeah. They do like little sketches where they'll be wearing like the shirts of like certain thing and just doing the NXT, NXT. They come on somebody, oh, why? He was better in NXT. All this.
Oh yeah.
If you get a chance,
here's your thoughts. I'll check it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to NXT, Chance. Do you find like watching NXT when they're at like the university, mm-hmm. that crowd, it puts me off watching the show. I find they're a little too smarky, and they try to hijack this. I notice it in promos. They try to hijack the show, and it's making it as me watching at home. Like, don't really want to watch it too much. But when I watch the specials, when they're out of that building, and it's all the fans that have bought the network and are totally into the product, and you get those genuine chants and that genuine fun atmosphere. I really love watching those shows.
It's amazing too.
What do you find with that crowd? Do you think it's very smarky or?
Oh, definitely. Because the fact that with Zayn, they refused to try and accept the Zayn thing and kept up with the ole, ole, ole chants from his run as Generico. And they still try and do it. And yeah, you're right. They do. Yeah. They do try and hijack the show. And a lot of times, Even with the bigger shows, and you see in like a Chicago or something like that for Raw and that, they try and do it too. And it almost makes me yell at the screen, look, I know it's for you, but it's not about you. Just watch the show.
Yeah. 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 So. And there's a difference of, you know, when you see those ones after the Raw, after WrestleMania, and I remember there was one in particular where there was just like I think it was Sheamus and Orton, and it was just a shit match. And genuinely upset. I didn't think they were trying to hijack the show. Like, those things are good to watch. Or at WrestleMania 20, and you had Lesnar versus Goldberg.
and the whole crowd turning.
Yeah. But the whole crowd just wouldn't give them anything at the start of the thing because they didn't like them, you know? That's genuinely entertaining. But I just do find that when you've got someone trying to cut a promo and then they're trying to hijack the show, and they do a lot of the Bayley stuff as well. They're trying to get all their Bayley chants in, pushing like kind of promo, and
I said on the last episode I was on of this, and I've also said it in other conversations I've had with a couple of friends. I said like Hunter and Reigns could have come out and hold for hold, do Nakamura and Zayn's match, and they still would have got booed out of the building because of who they were, and they'd already made their mind. The crowd had already made their mind up they were going to hate it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, totally. What do you think of this whole new tact of Roman Reigns? This whole, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy.
Oh, well, it's, I think, you know, it's them knowing that there's a large section of the crowd that hate him and not ignoring it. Because they do still want to push him as a face. And they're still, apparently there's like a lot of people that like him. I don't mind it.
There are some, you do see some roars that they go to, he gets a really good response. But then in some parts of the country, they just hate him.
So I think it's a way of addressing that.
Yeah, I don't mind the whole like I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, blah, 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 blah. But don't do it every show. Don't come out with the same speech. Work different ways of saying I'm the guy in every promo. Don't, no, this is probably not him. This is all script. So he's probably sort of hamstrung. And that's the problem with the Fed nowadays, is that the guys are hamstrung by what they say unless they've got a fair bit of stock in the company, if you will. Because they don't get that whole... They get, this is what you'll say. This is what's going to get you over. And what are they going to do? That's your boss. If your boss tells you to do something, you have to go and do it, don't you?
Not really. If you know you can do better. No, but seriously. This is probably, maybe if these guys, back in the day, they went to Stone Cold and you're going to be the ringmaster. No, I'm not. I'll do it for a bit. I've got something better. I'm going to do this way. It's going to get over. Maybe these guys have got to get some balls and fucking go, no, I don't like that, but he has a bet. We try this. Let's see if we get it over. I think that's the issue. I think these days, no one has any fucking balls to go, all right, well, this isn't working. How's about we try this? Trust me with this. You've invested all this money in me as a performer for me to be good. just let me run with the ball and I promise I'm not going to let you down, instead of having like some dickhead writers write your shit scripts. So, you know, two-way street, you can't blame the writers. Come up with something better. Sell it. Sell it to them. Come up with something better and sell it to them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't blame. I blame the writers, but go ahead.
Will you sell me on the new and improved Warzone under your vaunted leadership, sir?
Oh, new and improved. We're bringing in a few familiar faces from past. We've got Carlo Cash Money Cannon coming back. We do have some new faces. There is a New South Wales wrestler who has taken Aussie wrestling by storm lately, so don't really want to announce who he is until it's officially announced on the site and on social media. But there will be someone from there will be some new faces in. There'll be some familiar faces. We're in a new area. We're doing a joint fundraising thing with a school, so you know it should combine it with the school. We should get some good numbers and be a great night for everyone.
You haven't announced any matches just yet, have you? Because it's still a ways off.
Nope. Still like May. So yeah.
We also haven't announced any
matches yet. So
you also have a mystery investor, sir. I believe I read somewhere.
So yeah, just got some got a bunch of money and just let me run the joint. So yeah, it's pretty good. Do you want me to tell you who it is? I'm not gonna tell you who it is. That's the whole point of it being a mystery, Todd. What sort of information are you trying to get from me? Are you
trying to do something? It's my job to try and get that out of you. You see.
Lips are sealed, mate. What's the point of announcing it as a mystery announcer and tell you on the show, mate? Doesn't make much sense. You know, I've got an investor. It's not much of a mystery. Nah.
Not going to happen.
Nah. Not going to happen, mate.
I respect that totally, sir.
Exactly. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's been great talking to you.
Feels like we're in a bit of a satellite, doesn't it? You know, we've got like a bit of a delay feed, and it's like we're like an awkward interview done by a satellite.
It's because we both know there's certain shit we can't say. It's like a bit of
totally.
You want to tell the people where they can catch you and where they can get onto to most of the stuff you're involved with, sir?
Check out Warzone Wrestling on Facebook. Type in Warzone Wrestling. You also check out the YouTube. There's a lot of great classic matches on there, some good clips. It's Warzone Wrestling Australia on YouTube. Type in the channel. You'll be able to find it there. Plenty of great action, some international stars, some of the great wrestlers that have traveled around the country and have been all over the place. Some have made successful overseas. You can all see in the Warzone Wrestling account. IWAwrestling.com.au. We've got some shows coming up in June. Hopefully they'll be online, free to watch on the World Wide Web via YouTube live and live in color.
Do you do live commentary on the YouTube thing, or is it just the straight out the match?
I haven't done it yet, but there is live commentary on the YouTube thing as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's the match and commentary, and that live commentary goes over the PA system, so the crowd hears it. So basically, what you're hearing the commentary on the show is what's being fed out to the crowd. So like it's a lot of effort goes into it, and you know, when I listened to it, because I didn't do the North Coast tour, I was unfortunately employed elsewhere at that time. It was paying me more money, so I was sitting at work watching it on YouTube, and that commentary was crystal clear through that thing. So
that's really good.
Yeah, they got a pretty good tech team for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I got really desperate.
And free. You can watch it for free.
Yeah. I got really desperate on our last RCW live show. That's our shows that are at our academy. And I actually had one of the crew periscope me the show. So I just got a quick match.
Oh, yeah.
And periscope me the next match. Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do with like technology these days. It's
Anything on the acting side, sir? Because you're fresh face now without the beard. You must be.
To tell you the truth, the fresh face was I'm in the different employment I work. I deal with a lot of VIPs, so I need to look very professional these days. So that's a fresh face. I could no longer look like a mountain man with my big long beard. But as I said, it's been one of those kind of rebuild things. It's just been getting, trying to get like, it's a very tough industry, you know, so just trying to get like, you know, new management, new agency, work a bit harder and you know, get more opportunities for me. So that's the big problem I was having. So I can give you more information later in the year, I can tell you. So yeah.
Yes, well, early definitely stages. Keep us informed because we'll throw it up on our Facebook wall for sure and get it out there so more people know what his lordship is doing.
Definitely will. Thank you for that.
That's all right, sir. With that, is there anything else you want to add before we get out of here and we can stop recording and just keep talking away where we were before?
Yeah. Oh, no. Once again, thanks for having me on the show. I hope people have liked our conversation, have learnt something new. You know, you're supposed to learn something new every day. Hopefully we've taught some people some new things and done our job to the universe. That's, I got nothing to say, pal. I got nothing.
All right. Well, we'll head it back to Josh now because I think Josh will do the wrap up and all that stuff because I'm not good at reading out sponsor perfect. Things.
Hey, Josh.
That's his gig. That's his gig. Yeah. So there you go, Josh. Take away, mate.
Excellent.
Big thanks, Lord Mark Williamson and Todd Eastman, who no doubt you will see in the corner of world-class Chris Basso this Saturday night at the Latvian Hall, Wayville, South Australia, Riot City Wrestling's Rites of Passage. It is going to be an absolute monster event, and I can't wait for it. Hope to see you there. And if you dug the show today, please do subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button or the follow button there. Please do share the show. Tell your friends about it. If you've got friends out there that are getting into the Aussie wrestling industry and really, you know, sort of wanting to know more about what's going on, this is the place for them. You can follow us on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU. You can follow Todd at Beast Eastman. All one word, at Beast Eastman. And be sure to give us a like on Facebook as well. Now, just quickly, the Axe Cast with Josh Shooter, Dowie James and DDP that was scheduled to be out by now. There was a bit of a hiccup when the guys actually recorded it and the audio. I don't know if we can actually release it. But we're working on somehow fixing it. We'll see how we go. But them's the breaks, eh? So you gotta love technology. But all good, and I believe that Josh was actually planning on catching up with Kellyanne very soon. So we will at least have that one for you in the near future. And just quickly, butts in seats, or actually it'll be a butts out of seats edition. But yep, it is making a comeback tomorrow. So if you dig that show, keep your eyes and ears peeled. The reboot is happening. That's right. So look out for some WCW retro WWF reviews and chatter. That's going to be a good time. All right, let's bail. Big thank you again to WrestleMerch Printing, Thunderstag for the theme music, Todd Eastman, Lord Mark Williamson. That's the man. And thank you for listening. I'm Josh Armour. This has been WRA. Peace. Catch you later. Friday, every night's a Saturday night. Yeah.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Full.
Hey, I'm Will, the host of the podcast From the Sidelines, proud members of the FNX Network. I'm here to tell you why you should listen to our show. Do you need a comprehensive look over all the sporting happenings in the world on a weekly basis? Then you need From the Sidelines. Me and the guys discuss the bizarre, the serious, and the downright weird in sport every week. Seriously, one week we talked about jousting. It was so weird. If you love sport, you'll love our show. So come and join us as we look at sport from the sidelines.